Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28, titled Puranjana Becomes a Woman in the Next Life. Text 26. Tam Yajna Pashavo Anena Samyapta Ye Dayaluna Kutarais Chichidu Krudaha Smaranto Amivan Asya Tat Tam Yajna Pashavo Anena Samyaptaye Dayaluna Kutarais Chichidu Kruddaha Smaranto Amivan Asyayatat Tamyajna Pashavo Anena Samyaptaye Dayaluna Kutarais Chichidu Kruddaha Smaranto Amivan Asyata Tam Yajna Pashavo Anena Samyaptaye Dayaluna Kutarais Chichidu Kruddaha Smaranto Amivan Asyata Yajna Pashavaha, the sacrificial animals, Anena, by him, Samyaptaha, killed, Ye, all of them, who, Adhyaluna, by the most unkind, Kutare, by axes, Chichidu, pierced to pieces, Kruddaha, being very angry, Smarantaha, remembering, Amivam, sinful activity. Asya, of him. Tat, that. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Jai Shri. Translation. That most unkind king, Puranjana, had killed many animals in various sacrifices. Now, taking advantage of this opportunity, all these animals began to pierce him with their horns. It was as though he were being cut to pieces by axes. Purport. Those who are very enthusiastic about killing animals in the name of religion or for food must await similar punishment after death. The word mamsa, meat, indicates that those animals whom we kill will be given an opportunity to kill us. Although in actuality no living entity is killed, the pains of being pierced by the horns of animals will be experienced after death. Not knowing this, rascals unhesitatingly go on killing poor animals. So-called human civilization has opened many slaughterhouses for animals in the name of religion or food. Those who are a little religious kill animals in temples, mosques or synagogues, and those who are more fallen maintain various slaughterhouses. Just as in civilized human society, the law is a life for a life, no living entity can encroach upon another living entity as far as the Supreme Lord is concerned. Everyone should be given freedom to live at the cost of the Supreme Father, and animal killing, either for religion or for food, is always condemned by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 16, text 19, Lord Krishna says, Tan aham dushatah kruran samsareshu naradaman kshipami ajasram ashubhan asureshu eva yonishu. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, are cast by me into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life. The animal killers, Vishataha, envying other living entities and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are placed in darkness and cannot understand the theme and objective of life. This is further explained in the following verses. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta Purport. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Vanobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadama Hyam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utapadakam Lam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatan Vitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagan Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapataka Swaminiti Namine Namacharya Padaya Nithai Kripa Pradayine Gorakata Damadaya Nagaragramatarine Namam Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Gopi Parana Dhanatase Iti Namine Namam Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhi Evacha Katitanam Pavani Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Hukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayati Giram Yatkripa Tamaham Bande Shri Gurundarinam Yatkripa Tamaham Bande Paramananda Madhuram Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram Katanchana Smrite Yasmin Dushkaram Sukaram Bhavet Vismrite Vipritam Syat Shri Chaitanyam Namamitam. So here, in this text, we see how, although Puranjana was a very religious king from Vedic standards. He performed all the duties very nicely. Yet, you can see how he is being referred to here by the Bhagavatam. That most unkind king, Puranjana, had killed many animals in various sacrifices. Now, sacrifices are prescribed by the Vedas. Yet, he is being referred to as the most unkind king. Now, this is the perspective of the Bhagavatam. And the Bhagavatam, as we know, is the highest among all scriptures. It is the scripture accepted as the topmost by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, from the perspective of the Bhagavatam, Puranjana is a very unkind king. But from other perspectives of the Vedic scriptures, Puranjana may be considered a very religious king, very nice king, very pious. And despite having executed all his functions very religiously, you can see what is the result. That even though he may have performed animal sacrifices according to the Vedic scriptures, what is the result? Now, after his death, taking advantage of this opportunity, all these animals began to pierce him with their horns. It was as though he were being cut to pieces by axes. So this itself is a very strong reaction. But as they say, some people are determined to do wrong things in life or too attached to doing that. So what happens is the Vedic scriptures gives them a certain concession. So instead of accumulating too much karmic load and causing unnecessary disturbance, at least they try to limit the disturbance. So these prescriptions in the Vedic scriptures are meant to limit the karmic factor and to restrict the disturbance. Not that it is a good thing. Just like, in Krishna consciousness, we don't watch movies. Now, when we preach to a newcomer who is very addicted to watching movies, if you tell him that this is the first thing you'll do, give up watching movies, he's not going to do it. Most likely he wouldn't do it. So what we say is, we don't usually say people what they should not do in the beginning. We tell them what you should do. You know? So by the process of Krishna consciousness, by the power of chanting the holy names in the association of devotees, gradually this person will come up and say, I have this problem. I have to watch a movie every day or three movies every day. You know, what do I do? So what is the normal prescription that we would give him? We would say, okay, if you're watching a movie a day, maybe you can restrict it to two movies a day, or two movies a week or three movies a week, something like that. Some prescription which he can try to implement. But that does not mean that that prescription is absolute. The standard is no movies in Krishna consciousness. However, to encourage a newcomer, we say, okay, by the chanting of the holy names, you've developed taste, yet you're not able to give up this bad habit, and you've come to me for a solution. So instead of doing it every day a week, why not 2 days a week? Why not 3 days a week? Something like that. So in the same way, the Vedic scriptures is offering people from all walks of life a solution to progress towards the ultimate goal of life. So animal sacrifices are a part of such a prescription. That does not mean actually animal sacrifices are okay. They are not okay. But for people who are very determined, very attached, it's given. But the punishment is also there. The punishment is also there. You cannot escape the punishment, as we see here from Bhagavatam. Now, when I took to Krishna consciousness, I took to Krishna consciousness after reading the Krishna book. The first shloka that I ever read in my life was in the Krishna book. Of course, in the beginning, George Harrison mentions the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in his foreword. And then you have Prabhupada's preface. Now Prabhupada does something very interesting there. He takes out a verse from the Bhagavatam and places it right at the beginning of the preface to Krishna book. And it is this verse, Nivritta Tarsher Upagiyamana Bhavaushra Chotramano Biramat Ka Uttama Shloka Gunanuvada Puman Virajeta Vina Pashugna. Now this is from the 10th canto, chapter 1, text 4 of the Bhagavatam. Now when I encountered Krishna consciousness, when I read this as the first text, had no clue what this text meant. And mysteriously, Prabhupada has neither given a translation there, nor an explanation of this verse in the beginning of the preface. But I knew that there must be some purpose why he put it there. And it was only much later that I discovered that this verse is actually from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And this verse is very relevant to the texts that we are reading today. So I thought I will go to this text in the Bhagavatam, and Prabhupada gives a very long purport there. So what I've done here is that I've extracted a few parts of that purport. So we'll discuss that verse a little bit, because that elaborates the text that we are reading today. It gives very nice details to the text that we're reading today. So the translation of this verse is Nivritte tarse rupagiyamana bavaushra chotramano birama ka uttama shloka gunanuvada puman virajeta vina pashugnat. Translation: glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is performed in the parampara system. That is, it is conveyed from spiritual master to disciple. Such glorification is relished by those no longer interested in the false temporary glorification of this cosmic manifestation. Descriptions of the Lord are the right medicine for the conditioned soul undergoing repeated birth and death. Now the word bhavaushadi means, aushadi means medicine. Bhava aushadi means, bhava means, as is mentioned in this translation, descriptions of the Lord are the right medicine for the conditioned soul undergoing repeated birth and death. So this material life is called bhava roga, Prabhupada used to say, the disease of material life in which one encounters birth and death. So bhava aushadi, the aushadi for that is, descriptions of the Lord are the right medicine. And what kind of description? That is performed by a qualified spiritual master to a disciple, and Prabhupada explains in the purport, in the translation, parampara system. He translates it like that. And then, in the last sentence of the translation, therefore, who will cease hearing such glorification of the Lord except a butcher or one who is killing his own self? Now, I extracted some part of the purport. Some parts of the purport. Prabhupada writes, if we hear the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from liberated persons, this hearing will certainly free us from the bondage of material activities. There are big scholars, politicians, philosophers and scientists who speak on Bhagavad Gita in their own polluted way, and people in general hear from them, being uninterested in hearing the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from a devotee. A devotee is one who has no other motive for reciting Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam than to serve the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has therefore advised us to hear the glories of the Lord from a realized person. Bhagavata Parodhya Bhagavata Stane. Unless one is personally a realized soul, the signs of Krishna consciousness, a neophyte should not approach him to hear about the Lord, for this is strictly forbidden by Vaishnav Sanatan Goswami. So far, Prabhupada is speaking about hearing from the right person. And then he speaks about what is the effect of hearing from the wrong person. For this is strictly forbidden by Sanatan Goswami, who quotes in the Padma Purana, Avaishnava Mukodgirnam Bhutam Harikathamritam Shravanam Naiva Kartavyam Sarpochishtam yatha payaha. One should avoid hearing from a person not situated in Vaishnava behavior. Vaishnava is Nivritta Trishna. That is, he has no material purpose. for his only purpose is to preach Krishna consciousness. So-called scholars, philosophers and politicians exploit the importance of Bhagavad Gita by distorting its meaning for their own purposes. Therefore, this verse warns that Krishna Katha should be recited by a person who is Nivritta Krishna. Now this is the first part of the verse. Then we go on to the second part, that Shukadeva Goswami epitomizes the proper reciter for Srimad Bhagavatam, and Parikshit Maharaj, who purposefully left his kingdom and family prior to meeting death, epitomizes the person fit to hear it. A qualified reciter of Srimad Bhagavatam gives the right medicine, Bhavaushadhi, for the conditioned souls. The Krishna consciousness movement is therefore trying to train qualified preachers to recite Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, throughout the entire world, so that people in general, in all parts of the world, may take advantage of this movement and thus be relieved of the threefold miseries of material existence. So now we go on to this part about the butcher. So first Prabhupada is explaining how we should hear from the right source, how we should avoid hearing from the wrong source, and what is the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement. And then he'll go on to explain about butchers and killing of the soul. The instructions of Bhagavad Gita and the descriptions of Srimad Bhagavatam are so pleasing that almost anyone suffering from the threefold miseries of material existence will desire to hear the glories of the Lord from these books and thus benefit on the path of liberation. Two classes of men, however, will never, Prabhupada uses the expression, two classes of men, however, will never be interested in hearing the message of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Those who are determined to commit suicide. Now, those who are determined to commit suicide, that's quite an interesting expression. And those determined to kill cows and other animals for the satisfaction of their own tongues. The word Pashugna is important in this connection. Pashugna means butcher. Persons fond of performing ritualistic ceremonies for elevation to the higher planetary systems must offer sacrifices, yajnas, by killing animals. Lord Buddhadev therefore rejected the authority of the Vedas because his mission was to stop animal sacrifices, which are recommended in Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. Nindasi yajna videraha shruti jatam sadaya hridaya darshita pashugatam keshavadrita buddha sharira jaya jagadisha hare. Even though animal sacrifices are sanctioned in Vedic ceremonies, men who kill animals for such ceremonies are considered butchers. Butchers cannot be interested in Krishna consciousness, for they are already materially allured. Their only interest lies in developing comforts for temporary body. Bhogeshwarya prashaktanam tayapaharta chetsam vyavasayatmika buddhe samadavna vidiyate. In the minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination of devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. Bhagavad Gita 2:44. Srila Narottam Das Thakur says, Manushya janma paya Radha Krishna na bhajiya janiya suniya vishay kainu. Anyone who is not Krishna consciousness, who is not Krishna conscious, and who therefore does not engage in the service of the Lord, is a pashugna. So please note what Prabhupada is saying. Anyone who is not Krishna conscious and who does not engage in the service of the Lord is also pashugna, for he is willingly drinking poison. Such a person cannot be interested in Krishna Katha because he still has a desire for material sense gratification. He is not Nivritta Krishna. As it is said, Traivargikas Te Purusha Vimukha Harimedasaha. Those interested in Trivarga, that is in Dharma, Artha and Kama, are religious for the sake of achieving a material position with which to gain better facilities for sense gratification. Such persons are killing themselves by unwillingly keeping themselves in the cycle of birth and death. So, we see here how Prabhupada explains this word, Pashugna, the killers of animals. In fact, not only Prabhupada, but all the previous acharyas explain it like this, that this killing of animals not only refers to the literal killing of animals, but it also refers to Atmaha. In fact, the Bhagavatam verse itself says, killing of the soul. Now we know that the soul cannot be killed. So what does killing of the soul refer to? So killing of the soul refers to the fact that conditioned souls neglect this, the purpose of their existence, the spiritual purpose of their existence, to develop love for God. And being engaged in materialistic consciousness, that is called killing of the soul. The soul is not literally killed, but the soul is sleeping. Soul is not able to function in its eternal nature as the servant of the Lord. So that is also referred to as Pashugna. And we see that all the acharyas, now this is very, very important in terms in our line of pure devotional service. All the acharyas, they stress so much, give up sense gratification. Vishaya Acharya, Sere Se Majiya, Mukhe Bolo Hari Hari, chant the holy names of Hari. Last week I was in Tirupati, so where I noticed, now Tirupati temple is in one sense the most famous temple in the whole of India. You could say it is the most famous temple, and thousands, hundreds of thousands of pilgrims throng this temple each day. And quite the average waiting time for you get a 300 rupees ticket, which is the highest ticket you can get. The average waiting time in that ticket is 4 hours. Normally it takes people 8 hours or more to, if you just go by normally. But if you buy this 300 rupees ticket, it takes average of 4 hours to have darshan of the Lord. So when you're at this place, you can see several varieties of devotees. They're all devotees of the Lord, but we who are Rupanugas, who are followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we are different. We are not just devotees in the common sense of the term, but this emphasis on give up sense gratification, give up sense gratification and chant the holy name of the Lord simultaneously. We're not interested in sense gratification. So we are not approaching the Lord for advancing the cause of Dharma, Artha, Kama. The Prabhupada explains this, that this advancing of Dharma, Artha, Kama is also Pashugna. Means you are killing your soul. So in Krishna consciousness, this is the teaching that has been given to us by all the previous acharyas and Srila Prabhupada, that we are not interested in sense gratification. That is the clear determination of a devotee. That a devotee is interested in chanting the holy names of the Lord, developing love for God, and simultaneously giving up sense gratification, giving up all traces of sense gratification. In fact, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has written a book called Vaishnava K, where he elaborates on what it means, what kind of a devotee are you. So devotees can be of various types. Okay, here people who are interested in material benefits also approach the Supreme Lord. Then there are others who are interested in practicing Krishna consciousness, but who like to live in secluded places. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes, what kind of Vaishnava are you? I like to sit in a secluded place, but in my mind, I'm always thinking of women and sense gratification. So it's a cheating process. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur recommends that in this age, this bhajana, in the imitation of Chaitanya, of Haridas Thakur, is not going to work. So he writes there, I mean, the whole book is about a strong emphasis to preach the holy names of the Lord. Now, by chanting Harinam and by preaching the glories of the Lord, when these two simultaneously exist, then we have the hope to be free from sense gratification. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also writes, there are two types of sense gratification, gross and subtle. Gross sense gratification we all know, subtle sense gratification, subtle sex life, profit, adoration, distinction. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur deals with this in very great detail, and there is a book which has been released by Jayapradak Maharaj who gives a whole purport, very interesting purports to these verses. So there we understand very clearly that we are Rupanugas, and the characteristic of a Rupanuga is we chant the holy names of the Lord and we also preach, and when these simultaneously exist, then we have the hope to be free from sense gratification. We can try to chant the holy names of the Lord, just engage just chanting of the holy names, but our minds may still be infested with the desires for sense gratification. Now there is a story of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Once he put out an advertisement that anybody can join the Gaudiya Math who is willing to simply chant the holy names of the Lord. They don't have to do anything, just chant all the time, and they'll be provided with prasadam, accommodation, whatever they need. But they can do only one thing: chant the holy names of the Lord. Now what happened was, different people applied and tried to join the Gaudiya Math, but all of them left except Akinchana Krishnadas Babaji. So he was the only person who actually stuck. He was somebody who came through that advertisement. So we can see how rare it is that somebody can just chant the holy names of the Lord and completely be free from sense gratification. Generally it is not possible. So our minds are usually filled with different ideas of sense gratification. So this combination of chanting the holy names of the Lord and this process of preaching which has been given to us by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is what will save us from our material desires, and this is what will enable us to quickly develop love for God. Now this is the opinion of the gopis, because we are now, today is the first month of Kartik, and in the month of Kartik we do various things, and we sing the Gopi Gita. In the Gopi Gita, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the gopis are the highest devotees. That is the verdict of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we are followers of Gopi Bartu Pada Kamalayor Dasa Dasa Anudasa. So we are the servant of the servant of Krishna, who is the master of the gopis. So our whole purpose is to try to practice Krishna consciousness in the mood of complete surrender of the gopis. Now, according to the estimation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are highest. And what is their estimation? And this is important to understand. According to the estimation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the gopis are the highest. And according to the estimation of the gopis, who is the highest? So in the Gopi Gita, we see the gopis sing, Tavakatamritam Tapta Jeevanam Kavibirishitam Kalmasapaham Shravanamangalam Srimadatatam Bhuvigrinantiye Buridajana. So, in the estimation of the gopis, those who preach Krishna consciousness, they are considered the highest. So this is the verdict of the gopis themselves. So according to our estimation, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's estimation, the gopis are the highest. And according to the estimation of the gopis, the preachers are the greatest. This is the same thing which Krishna also explains in the Bhagavad Gita, that there is nobody who is as dear to me as the preachers, nor will there be anyone more dear. So this is for all times. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also writes, there has never been and there will never be such benefactors of the highest merit as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees, because they spread the Sankirtan movement. So this is our process, that we chant the holy names, we perform devotional service in the association of devotees, and we preach. So in the month of this Damodar month, this should be our meditation. How to practice nicely and how to increase this Krishna consciousness. And in some places of the world, like Malaysia, they have this very nice program. It's called the Damodar program, which they started a few years ago. Now it has expanded hugely. And not only in Malaysia, but in other parts of the world also, they've started to experiment it. In some parts of India also. What they do is that people are not normally devotees, But they tell them, okay, there is this auspicious month of Kartik. Whatever you do, you get 1,000 times the benefit. They illustrate the various benefits of Kartik, and they encourage them, why don't we have a ceremony? Some of us devotees will come and we'll try to sing Damodarashtam, have this lamb ceremony. And through this process, I mean, they approach so many different houses and people don't mind. Oh, it's a 1 month and one program, and lambs, or maybe once a week, whatever, during the Kartik month. They have different ways in which they do it. So people are more receptive to it. And as they say, once you set your foot in the door, then it's easier to do the other things. So they use, I mean, they use the Damodar month, the offering of lambs, to preach. So this is the spirit of the Krishna consciousness movement. Whenever there's an opportunity, we try to preach. So this is our Krishna consciousness movement, and it is very interesting that usually, what is the definition of ahimsa? Ahimsa means not to hurt somebody. That's the normal definition of ahimsa. Don't hurt somebody. But that is not the definition which Prabhupada gives of ahimsa. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the 10th chapter, and later, again, he defines, in the 13th chapter also, in the 8th, verses 8 to 12, he defines ahimsa as, unless one elevates people to spiritual knowledge, one is practicing violence. So unless one elevates people to spiritual knowledge, one is practicing violence. So if we don't preach, we are practicing violence. So this is the definition that Prabhupada himself has given in the Bhagavad Gita. I found that is pretty interesting, because this is completely different from the concept that people have, what is ahimsa. So it's not enough if you just don't kill animals or be nice. But if you don't preach, then we are practicing ahimsa, we are practicing himsa, which is we are practicing violence. So this should be borne in mind, because people are gliding down to hell. People are practicing sense gratification, whether religiously or irreligiously, but they're all being stuck in this material world. So the purpose of Krishna consciousness is bhavaushadhi, to provide the medicine for people to get out of it. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his song, he sings, Enechi aushadhi maya, nashi baro lagi, harinama maha mantra, lao tumi magi. Now, this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself saying it. Bhaktivinoda Thakur quotes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his song. I have brought the medicine to eradicate the disease of illusion. Now pray for this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and take it. So this is the prescription of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I have brought the medicine to eradicate the disease of illusion. Now please, now pray for this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and take it. So, Bhava, Aushadhi, Enechi Aushadhi, again the same expression. Aushadhi, the medicine is Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So we have to take it, give it to others, so they can also be cured of this illusion. And we are reading this text about slaughtering of animals, and we are reading about slaughtering of, killer of the soul. So we are talking about butchers. Now, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he does something interesting. He says the sadhus are also butchers. And in a small note, he very nicely explains this point. It's a brilliant explanation of why the sadhus are also actually butchers. They're butchers of material desires. And he says this is the duty of a sadhu. I'll just read that to you. It's very interesting. It is for this reason that the Bhagavata instructs us to turn over a new leaf. Persons of good sense must entirely give up all association with bad company and close association with the sadhus. There is no doubt that the words of the sadhu possess the power of destroying the evil propensities of one's mind. There is no doubt that the words of the sadhu possess the power of destroying the evil propensities of one's mind. The sadhus in this way benefit everyone who associates with them. There are many things which we do not disclose to the sadhu. The real sadhu makes us speak out what we keep concealed in our hearts. He then applies the knife The very word sadhu has no other meaning than this. He stands in front of the block with the uplifted sacrificial knife in his hand. The sensuous desires of men are like the goats. The sadhu stands there to kill those desires by the merciful stroke of the keen edge of the sacrificial knife in the form of unpleasant language. If the sadhu turns into my flatterer, then he does me harm. He becomes my enemy. If he gives us flattery, then we are led to the road that brings enjoyment, but no real well-being. So here, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur brings out this point, how essential it is for us to associate with the sadhus who can butcher our material desires. So chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, association of the sadhus, preaching. And as we know that Harinama, Vaishnava Seva, Jivadoya, this is the essence of all religious processes. So by chanting the holy names and by hearing from the sadhus, who can always correct us, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, we should seek the association of that sadhu who does not flatter us, who can speak the truth, even if it is in unpleasant language, who can chop our sensuous desires, and by preaching the holy name of the Lord, then we can advance steadily on the path back to Godhead. And it is therefore that Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavatam, first canto, first chapter, text 22, that all modern education institutions are slaughterhouses. Because in the modern education institution, the whole purpose is how to increase material life, how to make material life more comfortable, which is similar to the story of Puranjana. Of course, Puranjana is at least trying it in a Vedic way, but modern education institutions do it in a irreligious way. So when the whole purpose of life is material existence and sense gratification, that situation is compared to slaughter. So it is not an exaggeration when Prabhupada writes that modern education institutions are slaughterhouses. He's speaking like a true sadhu. He's speaking the truth. He's trying to slaughter the misconceptions that we have about modern civilization and mundane advancement. So, I would like to end by quoting a part of Bhaktivinoda, the last part of one of the songs written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Since today is the first day of Kartik, and I'm aware that I'm supposed to speak about Kartik, so I tried in whatever way I could. And I would like to end with the song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which would be a very good meditation for us in the month of Kartik, not only in the month of Kartik, but at all times, but especially in this month of Kartik. Kabe Nityananda More Kuri Doya, Charibe Mora Visheera Maya, Diya More Nija Charane Rachaya, Namera Hatete Dibe Adhikar. When will Lord Nityananda show me mercy and release me from the illusion of materialism? When will he give me the shade of his lotus feet, let me enter the marketplace of the holy name. So we know the solution is the holy name. But how do we get that solution? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur very nicely brings it out. When will Lord Nityananda show me mercy and release me from the illusion of materialism? When will he give me the shade of his lotus feet and let me enter the marketplace of the holy name? So, we have to depend on the mercy of Lord Nityananda so that we can have access to the holy name, so we can have some taste for the chanting of the holy names. Then, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, Kinibo lutibo hari nama rasa, nama rase mati hoibo bibasha, rasera rasika charana parasha, kuriya mojibo rase anibar. I shall buy or steal the mellows of the holy name of Hari. And after becoming intoxicated with those mellows, I shall become stunned by touching the lotus feet of the great souls who relish those mellows. I shall constantly drown in the sweet nectar of the holy name. Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is talking about I shall either buy, because the analogy is the holy name. Holy name market is being conducted by Lord Nityananda. So when you go to a market, what do? You buy. So here Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, either I buy it or I steal it. Now stealing is irreligious. So what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is referring to here is his eagerness. At any cost, I want that holy name. So it is a positive thing. It is referring to the eagerness to get the holy name. And then he concludes by saying, Kabe jeeva doya hoibe udaya, nija suki bhuli sudina hrudaya, bhakti vinoda kuriya binaya, shriyagya tahala kuribe prachar. First is seeking the mercy of Lord Nityananda to enter the holy names, holy name market. Second is actually getting that holy name. And then what? So he writes, when will compassion for all fallen souls, when will compassion for all fallen souls awaken within this Bhakti Vinod? And when will he thus forget his own happiness and with a meek heart set out to propagate by humble entreaty the sacred order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? I'll read it again. When will compassion for all fallen souls awaken within this Bhakti Vinod? And when will he thus forget his own happiness and with a meek heart set out to propagate by humble entreaty the sacred order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? So we can see that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praying that he may get a taste of the holy names. And what does he do? So that he can forget his own happiness. Preachers are like that. They don't forget, they don't think about their own happiness or distress. Prabhupada is a very fine example of that. He doesn't care about his own happiness or distress, but he was determined to go to the Western world, establish Krishna consciousness. So this is the mood of the Rupanugas. And when will he thus forget his own happiness and with a meek heart set out to propagate the humble entreaty, the sacred order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? So in this month of Kartik, may we always remember the sacred order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not only in Kartik, for all times. Thank you. Hare Krishna. So if there are any questions or comments. Yes, please.
There was something about his butcher that he's like eternally condemned or something like that. How was it exactly? I don't remember.
Which Krishna is saying?
Krishna Prabhupada in the purport, he was saying that his butchers, that there are these two persons.
Hmm. Yes.
Who can have never access or...
Yes.
Can you give a little comment?
I know what you're saying. So that particular verse, you know, the Madhvas, Madhvacharya's followers, they interpret that literally. They say eternally you're going to be damned in hell. But Prabhupada explains that even if that is the disposition, your fate, still a pure devotee can come and rescue you. So that is the glory of a pure devotee. Prabhupada actually explains that. So there's nothing called eternal damnation. Yes,
Vajra. You stated that Vaishnav Seva, Jiva Doya, and Namruchi are the essence of religion.
Yeah.
Where is this?
There's a song, you know. What's that? Pratikshabhu, you know that song. Just can look up that song. Jiva Doya, Namruchi, Sarva Dharma Sar. Vaishnava Seva, Jiva Doya, Namruchi, Sarva Dharma Sar. That is how it goes. But I forget from, pardon? Nadia Godrume, yes. Nadia Godrume, Nityananda Mahajan.
By Narottam Das? Bhaktivinoda. Also, is it not in the Chaitanya Charitamrita some conversation with Lord Chaitanya telling who? That's what I wanted to know. Sanatan Goswami.
Yeah, he says it, so many times. Practically to everybody. Of course, Sanatan Goswami is, when he instructs Sanatan Goswami, he says it. But,
thank you.
That is stressed throughout. Like for example, with Shivananda Sen, because he was I mean, the dog of Shivananda Sen, there also Prabhupada explains that even the dog of Shivananda Sen is so dear to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when you serve at Vaishnava, how dear you become to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yeah.
As you stated in the lecture that we can hear only from the liberated souls, so how we can judge? It's an offense, like if we judge.
Yeah, when we say liberated soul, Prabhupada's definition of liberated soul was one who's strictly following is also a liberated soul. Because what does a liberated soul do? He imparts the truth, right? So as long as somebody is repeating it, so it is imparting the truth. Just like you have in legal term, what's called the power of attorney. Power of attorney is not the actual holder of a title, of a land or something. But then, when the owner gives the power of attorney, that means that person can represent him for all purposes. So, even though the person may actually not be liberated, the owner and the power of attorney holder are not identical. So you may not be a liberated soul, but as long as you strictly speak only what Prabhupada has spoken, then that is considered liberated. Of course, we don't consider ourselves to be liberated, but from people whom we are hearing. So that is why the most essential element in our Krishna consciousness movement, our movement is based on Prabhupada's books. If you don't read his books, then you'll be lost. This happened several times in the history of our movement. People have been confused or have fallen simply because they've not read Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada in fact says in one place, if you read my books, you will never fall down. So the most essential element of our practice of Krishna consciousness is to understand the Krishna consciousness philosophy properly from Prabhupada's books. I remember I had one problem at one point where sometimes I would not attend some Bhagavatam classes because I know that the speaker does not represent Prabhupada properly. You know, so what do you do in a circumstance like that where you're supposed to do something? So what is Prabhupada's order? That we have to hear Bhagavatam every day. So that is Prabhupada's own order. So we cannot use our So we cannot use our own mind to rationalize. Okay, Prabhupada said to hear Bhagavatam class every day. Now, but this speaker does not always represent. Therefore, we don't listen. That's how I had rationalized at one point, and I was not attending some of the classes. Then I remember that Gopi Parandaku chastised me. He's somebody who never gets angry. But when he heard that I had not attended a class and I told him the reason, he was quite angry. He said, I'll repeat that. What happened was that I did not attend one Bhagavatam class, and I don't know if Gopi Parandana Prabhu noticed it or I told him. So then he was quite angry. He's not a person who, very rarely you'll see Gopi Parandana Prabhu angry. But he got angry. He said, why didn't you attend the class? I said, because I don't think the speaker represents Prabhupada. He said, no, it's your duty to attend the Bhagavatam class. Prabhupada wanted it. And he said, if people start doing this, that okay, Prabhupada has instituted a certain system. And if people start doing this, then ISKCON will be nowhere. But then I said, what do I do? But I don't want to sit through somebody who's just speaking something which does not represent Prabhupada. He said, as a duty to Prabhupada, as a respect for Bhagavatam, you have to sit through the class. But at the end of the class, you always have the opportunity to correct the speaker. So he said, do that, but don't miss the class. So, first of all, we tried, of course, Bhagavatam is mandatory, but sometimes they are voluntary, right? Once I asked Gopi Parandaku's question in a different context. So he said, suppose there is a seminar. He said, that is free. You're free whether to go or not. You're not obliged to go. You feel the speaker is not going to represent Prabhupada. Don't go. So you have a freedom there, whether to go or not. Certain things we don't have the freedom. Like Bhagavatam class. There's no question of not attending Bhagavatam class. But there's a solution also. If you feel that the speaker is not representing Prabhupada, then you can correct the speaker. Humbly, of course, not assuming that I am no better, but in a humble mood. But for that, first of all, we need to know what is Prabhupada's teaching. So we need, so ultimately everything is based on Prabhupada's books. That is why it says books are the basis.
Prabhu, you said ki we have to depend on the mercy of Lord Nityanand for getting an interest in the holy name.
Yeah.
But how do we get the mercy of Lord Nityanand? Is it linked, like we chant, then we get the mercy of Lord Nityanand?
Yeah.
It's vice versa?
It's like, how do you say, chanting reinforces preaching, preaching reinforces chanting. Actually, if you're chanting reinforces preaching, preaching reinforces chanting. So by chanting, you develop the mood to depend on Lord Nityananda. And by depending on Lord Nityananda, you chant more. So it works, it is inseparable. I mean, we have no new process.
We don't have a whole system of prayers. We do this, pray to Lord Nityananda. Prabhupada told us to chant the Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mantra before chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And once this question is asked, if Lord Chaitanya, if Panchatattva Mantra is more merciful than Hare Krishna Mahamantra, why can't we chant the Panchatattva Mantra? But it is the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to chant the Hare Krishna Mantra. Therefore, we have to follow that order. But before that, we can chant the Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mantra. So we chant that. That is depending on the Panchatattva, depending on Lord Nityananda. Then we chant the holy names. And by chanting the holy names, we can depend more on Lord Nityananda. By depending more on Lord Nityananda, we can chant more. Like that. It works like that. Jayaradha Krishna Prabhu has brought out the actual reference. Jiva Daya Nama Ruchi Vaishnava Sena Ihachara Dharma Nahi Suna Sanatana. So here Sanatana, kindness to all living entities, taste for the holy name and service to Vaishnavas. Apart from these, there is no other religion. So Chaitanya Charitamrita. Thank you. Okay, any other questions or comments? Thank you. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.